Welcome to the Monday review after an incredible weekend for the Blades as they absolutely battered Burnley at the Bramall Lane. We'll have a look back over how it happened and a quick preview of tomorrow night's South Yorkshire derby against Rotherham United at the Lane. This is the Star Blades Monday review. Almost spluttered over that. I think there were too many bees in the intro early on. We're going to keep this fairly tight today because you are about to head off to probably Paul Heckenbottom, though that's not exactly confirmed, but imagine it will be him, and a player ahead of tomorrow night's match against Rotherham, but which is a shame, really, because there's so much to talk about after Saturday, and it's nice to be able to wax lyrical about a performance of that scale. But we'll crack on. So, where do you start, really? Like, for a kickoff, just superb second half performance. Probably the best since Heggie took over, and certainly probably arguably the best again in the last maybe 2.5 years.
Yeah, the best in a long time, definitely, for sure. I think you nailed it, on the head, really, in your thumping intro. Absolutely battered Burnley, from almost the first whistle of the second half, if that makes sense. They were so sort of at it in contrast. I don't think they were bad first half, in fairness. I've seen a lot of contrasting opinions on that. I don't think they were particularly bad in the first half. They weren't at the best either, I think it's fair to say. Burnley looked by far the most dangerous team early on. I really like the lad on the right wing, Benson, in the first half, who gave Ender Stevens a torrid time. And sort of all the talk at half-time amongst us in the press box certainly was, is Benson going to get a hat-trick? When's Ender Stevens going to get sent off? That was only the expectations that we had in the game, really. And then I think the early goal in the second half really helped, to come out and sort of get that goal early on and, put a bit of doubt in Burnley's mind, a bit more belief in United and the crowd. And then from there, as you say, I can't think of a performance, as relentless as that so far this season. The one that springs to mind was QPR away last season. But I think that was another game where they really had to come out and sort of make a statement, and they just absolutely battered QPR that day, just wave after wave of attacks. And it felt a little bit like that to me. The second half, Burnley barely had a kick. Benson went off and it was almost like, oh, I forgot he was playing. After all that talk about how good he was in the first half, he barely touched the ball in the second half. United just completely dominant, just took control of the game so early on with that goal. And, as Ollie McBurnie said afterwards, like he said, the mood on the pitch felt like that. Once that goal went in, that equaliser, even he said on the pitch, like both sides, I think, almost thought there's only one winner here, just with the way that goal sort of shifted the momentum. And I think that was a big plus point for United's character as well, because we've seen it before, haven't we, in games where they got themselves back on level terms. And then to concede so late on in the first half and in such a manner as well, Jack Robinson making a mistake and then Benson going and scoring could have easily just killed United's belief, could have killed the crowd, could have killed the game, really. So I think to come out so quickly in that second half and get that equalising goal, I think just turned everything around so quickly. And then from there, United were just irresistible, weren't they? They still looked like they were going to score every time they went forward. The keeper, who I think had an up and down afternoon, I've never seen a keeper so consistently poor at kicking. I don't know what you think about that, and look so unsure coming off his line. There was a bit of Michael Verrips about him, which is not a thing you want to hear as a goalkeeper, I don't think. From the long throws and the corners and the crosses into the box, he looked shaky on every single one. And then he also made two or three really, really good saves. Yeah,
give him a bit of credit. Shot stopping was good. Everything else, although, to be fair, I don't think he was helped out by his defence, really.
Yeah, there is that. But like a mate of mine said, text me straight away, he said, for a team managed by Vincent Kompany, how they were so bad at defending set pieces. You think as a top defender that he was, he would have that, sorted out very quickly. But whether it was an off day for them, I don't know. But well, obviously it was an off day for them. But a really, really good one for United where they kind of turned it on. And I think that's kind of been coming. We said to Paul Heckenbottom a couple of weeks ago, someone's going to get a paste in sooner rather than later, aren't they? And he kind of said, oh, well, I hope so. And this is one of them days where everything kind of came together. I know it's a good job James isn't here, because I'm going to talk about the expected goals, and he absolutely hates it. You can see his eyes glaze over when you mention it. I think it does have a tiny place in things, because it shows you you're going in the right direction. If your XG is higher than your actual, you know, actual goals, then you're going, you're doing something right, aren't you? And United's was so much higher that you think somewhere, this is going to come together and someone's going to get a bit of a pasting. And obviously that happened on Saturday afternoon.
We'll move on to a little bit later. We'll talk about their defending of set pieces and certainly United utilising that. But first of all, two players, you've already mentioned both of them there. Jack Robinson, who, I mean, the first one's desperately unlucky. He's just thrown himself at it, and it's just been unfortunate. There's not a great deal he could have done about it. The second one, I was sat kind of diagonally to that, and I saw it coming a mile away. I had this awful premonition. I just seen it coming. That was just something, you know. The person sat next to me said about 10 minutes before that, I quite like having Jack Robinson in the team, but we know he's always got a rick in him. And to be fair, that has been the story of his time at Sheffield United, where, you know, he's all blood and thunder and heads everything away. And, you know, is to be fair to him, his deliveries and his the attacking side of his game has come on leaps and bounds. But there always just seems to be that little bit in him. And then as well as him, as you pointed out there, Ender was having a bit of a, he wasn't having a stinker, but it was just one of those games where he was coming up against a really good player who looked to be on it. And conversely, Ender's only just coming back into the team as well. So it was going to take him, you know, I think if the result hadn't have gone their way, Heggie might have been thinking to himself, this wasn't the game to bring Ender back in, you know, considering the abilities of Miguel? But both of them, both Stevens and Robinson, were superb, as everybody was in the second half. But I thought Ender really got into the game and kind of showed a little bit more of that Ender Stevens from a few years ago before he started picking up these niggly injuries. And then obviously Jack showed a lot of character to get himself on the end of a bit of a scramble to get that crucial third goal. Because I think at that point, as you said, the momentum had shifted, but that I think that killed Burnley off completely. They were never going to score again after that.
Oh, it was an unbelievable moment. You talk about things like redemption in football and fate and all that kind of stuff. That was everything rolled into one, wasn't it? Just the scruffiest goal he'll probably ever score. If he scored a scruffier goal than that, I'd be surprised in his career, but he wouldn't have cared. He wouldn't have cared a jot, will he? You know, and just think what a feeling that must be, you know, when you're wheeling away in front of the cop after, you know, what was it, half an hour after you've made a mistake, and you feel like you want the Bramall Lane ground to swallow you up, and then to sort of be the hero and turn things around so quickly. It's just, that's just football, isn't it? It's just crazy how these moments happen. And yeah, it shows a lot of character about him, doesn't it, as well, to not hide, because he will have been, you could tell from his reaction, he was absolutely devastated. As you say, when he made that mistake, you know, you could tell, I think he was sort of in two minds, whether to try and play, whether to try and pass. In the end, he did neither. And then Benson nicked it off him and scored just in front of half time. It was interesting that we asked, obviously, Paul Heckingbottom about this afterwards, and he mentioned Wes Fodderingham's decision to throw it at the time. Robert, you know, did he really need to put Jack in that position, which is something that not a lot of people really considered. You know, everyone, all eyes, probably quite fairly, were on Jack for that. But, you know, does Wes need to put him in that position? It just shows you that, you know, sometimes it's not all as, you know, as clear as it seems at the time. You know, sometimes there are other factors that you need to put into play. You know, did he see Benson on the touchline? You know, if he sees that, does he punt it down the field? You know, it finishes 1-1 at half-time, and then United, you know, who knows how the game pans out. But for Jack to sort of put that scruffy, you know, need finish whatever it came off back in the net and then celebrate, the scenes were just unbelievable. And then afterwards as well, excuse me, you could tell everyone was delighted for it. It shows how together this group is. The team spirit, I don't think it's one thing you can ever sort of question at Sheffield United, but you could tell the sort of desire almost to get your mate out of trouble, you know, when he's dropped a mistake, you know, because he's not the only one to do that this season, let's be fair. I think probably everyone in that United team has been pulled out of of trouble by someone else this season. So I think they kind of collectively said, you know what, let's get him, let's help him out here. Let's get around him. So I think, by all accounts, in the dressing room, but then to come out again in the second half, he made the equaliser as well, of course, on his right foot cross from the left wing, which started the sort of redemption. And then, you know, it was completed with that goal to, quite rightly, as you say, just to kill Burnley off. And then from there, you know, it was just dreamland, wasn't it? Every time United went forward, as we said, they looked like scoring. Oliver Burnley was like a man possessed. Despite his hernia issues, he must be in absolute agony when he comes off. He runs around like a madman, doesn't he? But just looks like a man transformed by his goals. You know, we talked about Illiman as well after the game. You know, 9 for the season is a great return at this stage. And he's also scoring the sort of... We know he's got in his locker those ridiculous running from halfway and putting it in the bottom corner with these goals. But it's these sort of... I said to Paul after the game, those type goals. You know, we saw it at Bristol City and it was in the right place to sort of move away from his defender and knock it home. And then again, probably the scruffiest goal of his career on Saturday afternoon to drag United level. So I think that's showing a sort of growing maturity to his game. He's not just a one-trick pony. I mean, that would be a good one-trick to have, I suppose. He can knock it past 4 people and put it in the bottom corner. But that's showing how he's developing as a player as well. I think he's doing the basics right as well as the outstanding stuff. You mentioned Ender before as well. You know, as a player who's been written off so many times in his United career so far. You know, if you listen to certain sections, he's been done for about 4 years now, I think. But he still keeps coming back. He's obviously a damn good player, isn't he? You know, there's no doubt in that. His pedigree speaks for itself. But that would have been a character test as well for him, you know, with Benson having a good day. Like you said before, he's not had a great deal of football behind him. You know, he'll have been thinking, this is maybe not my day here. But then to turn it around second half, as you said, Benson didn't have a kick after that and then got substituted. So Ender can be very delighted with his afternoon's work on Saturday as well.
Touch a little on them, given that they're still top of the league, obviously, and are and will be, I would imagine. Certainly one of United's biggest challenges for a top two place, regardless of what happened on Saturday. Do you think that United have maybe opened up a little can of worms on them in terms of, you know, the kind of set the blueprint for how to get at them, really? I mean, in fairness, not everybody has Ollie McBurney.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
The aerial ability that he has, as well as Ahmed Hodgson, John Egan, Basham when he's up there, Jack Robinson as well. In fairness, not everybody can call upon that level of kind of aerial chaos, really. Sometimes whenever it looks like chaos, it was clear on Saturday at least that they know what they're doing, but it looks mad when as soon as the ball comes into the box, they just cause absolute mayhem. But do you think, laboring the point here, do you think that the championship clubs can look at what happened on Saturday and say, well, actually Burnley might be good going forward, but that's exactly how we can get at them now?
Well, I'll say hopefully, because obviously as United, it's probably one of the biggest challenges. Hopefully teams do see that as a weakness and sort of exploit that. Listen, they're obviously a damn good team. I mean, as I said before, kind of recency bias in football, isn't it? That the last game is almost, that's Burnley now. You know, they're a team that gets battered by United, write them off or whatever. As you say, they're still clear at the top. They've still got some damn fine attacking players. They've still got some good defensive players, despite the fact on Saturday that they look like they've never played together before. They're obviously a damn good team coached by a manager who knows what he's doing. So, you know, I wouldn't write them off at all so far. I wouldn't, you know, as you say, United are still behind them. If the season finished now, they'd win the league and United would be in the playoffs. So I don't think you can quite get too ahead of yourself at the minute. But yeah, maybe it's put a little bit of doubt in their minds as well. You know, I think they've got on a 16-game unbeaten streak before. You know, maybe they... Company said afterwards, it's a humble club, Burnley, but when you're on that sort of streak, I imagine it's difficult to not have thoughts of, you know, we're infallible here, you know. And he said afterwards, perhaps we needed that defeat. maybe United had a bit of that. After their sort of winning run, maybe United maybe needed one defeat. The issue is that then became six without a win, which is what you don't want to let happen. You don't want that to creep in. You want to get back on the horse as soon as possible, so to speak. And company afterwards was talking about, tiredness playing a factor. They played Wednesday night and obviously went right to the end, scoring in the 150th minute or whatever it was against Rotherham, what it seemed like, because the game just went on forever until they scored. And he said a lot of mental tiredness and physical tiredness played a part, which you could see, to be fair. I think he said it wasn't a lack of training from his players. They just didn't have anything left to give. And I suppose when you're chasing, as you said, Ollie and Illiman and Ollie Norwood and everyone else round for as relentless as they were, I imagine that does take a physical toll. They'll bounce back from that. You can see they're a quality team. They've got the sort of components of a good promotion team. This is just an off day. United have had them. Every team this season will have them. The trick for Vincent and his staff, I guess, is to make sure that it doesn't become a 4-5-6 game, winless run. And of course, after he said, wait until we get them back to Turf Moor, which was kind of the theme of his post-match press conference. I don't know where it's got the, because we were like thinking something kicked off or someone said something, that kind of Sunday league thing, wait till we get them back to our place. And it didn't seem to be like that. He just said, well, we can't be that bad again. But the thing is that, as we've seen before with United, they can be that good again. That's the thing. So, if United turn up to Turf Moor and play like that again, then it'll be another difficult afternoon for his players. So, yeah, I wouldn't write them off just yet. As I said before, clearly it's a big statement for United, but they just have to sort of put it out of the system now and move on. And I'm sure they will do.
It's an odd one, that, isn't it? Wait till we get about it. It's a bit like, I don't know, like they're playing at Tottenham's ground or something. As if like Bramall Lane's this fancy big place, and wait till we bring you back to our humble little ground. And
they won't like it open.
No, I mean, Sheffield United are hardly like it's hardly glamour, is it?
Yeah,
but not, yeah. You know what I'm saying? I'm not playing it down.
No, really. Yeah,
it's not. It's not Wembley, like. We'll move on from Saturday very quickly. Talk about tomorrow night, and Rotherham United are heading to Bramall Lane for the match that was postponed. I think it was the Queen dying, wasn't it? So we've just put up a story this morning. Rotherham United are struggling. Well, they tell us they're struggling anyway, at least, that there could be a number of players missing for tomorrow night's game. They're having a bit of a run where they're probably not really getting the results that they deserve more than anything else. They've been on the wrong end of a couple of poor decisions by referees and a bit of bad luck, really. But they're going to be a threat, aren't they? They're going to come. It's a derby of sorts. They're going to come to Bramall Lane, and they're really going to be up for it, aren't they?
100%. I think this is a really dangerous game, especially on the back of that result on Saturday. As I said before, no one should be getting carried away just yet. But maybe when you beat the league leaders 5-2 at home, it's difficult to sort of keep those expectations on the ground. I think a lot of fans, if you ask them, will be saying, we'll go out and we'll, carry on where we left off, we'll score a few goals first off, that kind of thing. I think it's a really dangerous game, excuse me, especially if the Millers come and start well. There could be a little bit of frustration build around Bramall Lane, as we've seen before. So I think it might be a game for a bit of patience on the pitch as well as in the stands. But yeah, as you said before, last couple of games, I said against Burnley, they were winning until the 91st minute, I think it was, 91st minute equaliser, 98th minute winner. And then on Saturday, I think it was, by all accounts, against Norwich, they were quite unfortunate with the decision, which I've not seen the decision. I was at the game, obviously, but
it was a penalty call later on in the game. There was a bit of a shove. It's one of those ones that
I've certainly seen them given.
You would call for it if it was your team.
And you'd be fuming if it was given.
It certainly wasn't a cut and dried, absolutely shocking decision by the referee, but certainly one you would think, oh, we're a bit unfortunate there.
Yeah, and that's teams have played well, isn't it, in Burnley, and and Norwich. And that's what top teams do, isn't it? Rotherham will probably come away from both of those thinking, how have we not taken anything from at least one of them? That's what top teams do. They keep going, they find a way. They just keep relentlessly pressing. And that's what United might have to do tomorrow. You know, they might have to put Saturday out of their mind a little bit. Obviously, take the positives and take the momentum if you can. But sort of, you know, we have to start again here, lads. This is not carrying on from Saturday. You know, this is a new game. Kind of starting afresh against a team that deserves a lot of respect. I really like Rotherham. You know, I liked Paul Warne before he came in. Not obviously seen a lot, great deal of Matt Taylor since he came in, but it's just a club that's really humble and really down to earth and really friendly. I really like Rotherham. Good people there. Obviously, I'm hoping they come over, make the short trip back to Rotherham tomorrow night empty-handed. But I really hope that they can survive this season, which they look like, you know, look like doing based on the strength of their performances and results before the last two. But yeah, it'll be a difficult one for United. I think they'll have to be patient, obviously respectful of Rotherham and their threats. They'll have threats of their own. But, you know, it's one of those that I think Jack Robinson said on Saturday, you know, we're looking at these next two games and seeing can we be top of the league going into the break, which I think would be, doesn't mean a great deal at this stage, but obviously that's where you want to be at the end of the season. So why not try and get there as soon as possible? So I think it'll be a decent game. The Millers, it'll be interesting to see how they approach it. Will they come and try and nick something? Will they try and frustrate, or will they just say, you know what, let's try and get it United. Let's see if we can, you know, what do we have to lose? So I think everyone's sort of expecting us to get turned over by a team in such good form. Why not go and try and do something? So it'll be interesting to see how they set up. Obviously, hoping and expecting a good performance from United. But yeah, like I said, Rotherham's a team that I think a lot of people at United have a lot of respect for. A few familiar faces when they come to Bramall Lane.
That's great, Danny. Thanks very much. We'll be back on Thursday for a look back over Tuesday night's match and, of course, a look ahead to the final. It is the final match, isn't it? The final match before the World Cup break at Cardiff City. Thanks again, Danny. Thanks, everybody, watching and listening or whatever you're doing. See you again Thursday. Thanks very much.